Now, right here in San Francisco, he is the dean of the baseball writers, and that is the great Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, how are you on this Sunday?
Hey, Bruce.
Very well, thanks. How you guys doing?
Boy, good timing to get you on now. Fred Akers just kicked one, I think, in over the Golden Gate Bridge.
David Akers, Marty.
David Akers, sorry.
he just tied Tom Dempsey's record for the longest field goal ever. What a thing.
Yeah, wow. Tom Dempsey had the funny shoe.
Missing his toes or something.
Yeah, he had like
a steel plate, right? He had a square toe, which some felt was an unfair advantage. So, in a way, Akers has a singular kind of record there. First guy with a real foot.
Well, you know, I always felt that Dempsey took a lot of heat for that.
Yeah, he did.
Because,
yeah.
Look, hey, come on, he's a guy playing football with half a foot. I don't care what they give him for a shoe. I mean, really. All right. No Clayton Kershaw today. The Dodger clubhouse is closed. They're having a meeting right now. And, boy, I was all set for Kershaw and Zito and trying to figure out how this could work out. And I was thinking back of all the great pitching matchups that you always thought were one-sided that would go the other way, and now it's Joe Blanton and Zito.
There's no Kershaw?
No, he was scratched for a hip injury.
Oh, my goodness. I hadn't heard that. That definitely, that could be a crusher. I mean, after yesterday, I think the Dodgers probably felt pretty good about winning this series. Now, who knows? But, I mean, who knows anyway, right? I mean, anything could happen out there. But that's Kershaw already had an issue with his foot, and now this is a very bad sign for them.
Bruce, more important, I think, obviously, to the Dodgers. As you wrote your story today, and you've covered this so well all weekend long, they're 5 back in the loss column right now. 6 back with 22 to go is a lot different than 4 back with 22 to go. So pressure really still on the Dodgers, and the Giants just sort of, you know, just have to play their game.
Well, yeah, I mean, today kind of the way it's going to be left is that, you know, the Giants are still very much in the driver's seat, even more than before, or all of a sudden it's getting scary. And the Dodgers have, some belief. Maybe their team's coming together a little bit after a tough start. So there's an awful lot on the line.
Joe Blanton against the Giants, and we saw him with the Phillies. He pitched a pretty good game, but I think the issue today, I tell you honestly, I think is Barry Zito today. He has had a tough row of it here in this second half once again, especially maybe the last 5 or 6 starts. I think the pressure is more on Zito than the Dodger lineup, the Giant lineup, and everything else that you can come up with this game. I think the focus is on Zito today.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and I mean, gosh, who knows how that's going to play out? I mean, he's come up very, very short in games that were more important than this to the Giants. But he's also had a knack of surprising you. I mean, if he can stay away from the walks, you know, just put the ball in play and don't walk the ballpark, which is kind of haunted him a few times this year. That should be in good shape. And I don't know if there's that much pressure on Blanton either. I mean, he's coming out of nowhere. And if it's a great game, it's great. And if not, you know, hey, didn't have much notice. But, yeah, definitely Zito's the guy today. That'll be very interesting to watch.
Hey, Bruce, am I being a drama queen here? But this will be the first time Posey's caught Zito since the game in Houston. And Sanchez has pretty much been his personal catcher all year. Anything to make of that whole thing that with Zito saying he should have shook him off more?
Well, Lincecum's had some issues with Posey as well. I mean, I don't think either one of them completely respect the way Posey calls a game, and I think in reverse, I'm not sure Posey totally respects the way, you know, that relationship should work on the field. I don't think they're, like, feuding off the field.
Okay.
It's a little bit troubling, you know. I mean, it's sort of like Belt, you know, in left field. It's okay, but he's a first baseman, you know. And if Posey can play first and all, that's good, but he's got to be the catcher of this team. I mean, when it gets to the postseason, it's going to be very interesting to see how they work that out. I mean, can you really afford to have two guys not working with Posey?
Right, right.
So I don't know. We'll see how that transpires. But I guess the big thing now is that Posey's in the lineup, and he does need an occasional break from behind the plate. So there's always that to consider.
Crawford is back in the lineup today, Bruce. And I don't know if I said it to you yesterday when you were here, but you look at what Crawford's done over the last 60 games or so. He's got a couple of errors. It's the spectacular plays he's starting to make. Crawford is starting to look like maybe one of the best shortstop we've had here. I mean, if Esquel was here, you know, it was fabulous. And, you know, you go back to Chris Spire and, people like that. But I'm not so sure that I've seen sort of a homegrown giant as good as Crawford is in the field.
No, I don't think so. I've felt this way from spring training about Crawford's defense, and I was shocked that he had defensive problems early. But those are long gone. I mean, we're seeing it now. He's making some genius plays out there. I mean, his instincts are fabulous. His hands he's got magic hands. Everybody in the clubhouse knows that. Really exceptional. And you know, Vizquel, of course, was in a different league there. He had the greatest pair of hands probably that ever graced the position. But yeah, for in terms of homegrown, I would agree with you. I think, you know, when Spire came up, he was a revelation as much for his hitting, because especially in those days there weren't that many really hard hitting shortstops. You know, they were an awful lot of lightweights, and here was a guy drilling liners up the alley, occasional home run, and solid shortstop. But Crawford is definitely a cut above in defensively, and he might wind up hitting 260, which would be all they could ask.
Yeah, very, very. This is a major plus for this ball club for the future, for what he's done here. You know, we looked this up. Bruce, I think you and I talked about it. You know, Spire's first year, he had like 35 errors. I mean, yeah. You know, it's something enormous. And as I say, Crawford's last 60 games, he's had just a couple,
right?
Yeah. No, there's really, I don't think there's really a defensive comparison between those two.
Yeah. So Crawford's, you know, starting to, you know, get his spot here. Well, yeah. He's a beneficiary today of no Kershaw. Then he's back in the lineup. Arias is now out of the lineup.
Well, I think that's good. I mean, it's good for Crawford to get an occasional breather against the lefty, but 2 days in a row is a little much, because he's really the shortstop of this team, and that's the bottom line.
All right, Joe Blanton gets the ball today, and, you know, here, you just think about it. You know, it's the opening of the football season. Probably Joe Blanton, like everybody else around the clubhouse, they got their fantasy football teams.
Yeah.
Blanton is sitting back, you know, he's kicking back. I think I'll have a nice breakfast today.
And lunch.
And all of a sudden, Joe, we need to see you.
Yeah.
Boy, let's see what happens to him today.
Yeah, I mean, who can guess that? You know, there some guys that's would actually work to their advantage. It's like, you know, just don't think. as long as you're not thinking, everything's going to be great, you know, as opposed to, you know, sitting there and stewing over this huge start for 4 days. So Blanton strikes me as the kind of guy who could go out there and be at his best on short notice. He's things pretty much roll off his back. I mean, he's been traded. He's been ripped in Philadelphia. You know, he's seen and experienced pretty much everything that you can in baseball, so
yeah.
He'll probably be fine.
Well, we had a question last night. I want to throw it out to you. Two questions. First, I'll give you the easy one first. Good week or bad week of Giants baseball here? And I guess maybe it depends on what happens today, but 1-2 against Arizona, 1-1 here. Good week or bad week for Giants baseball?
Well, it does remain to be seen, but right now I'm going good week. I just think the strength of Friday night's win was really titanic. I mean, you know, they had a comfortable lead, and all of a sudden it felt like, geez, this thing could be over soon. And I think that overrides everything. You know, if they lose 10-1 today, maybe it's not such a great week, you know, in the end. So you gotta let it play out. But right going in, I think it's been a good week.
All right, good. I say I want to see what happens today, but for me, Friday night was just enormous. You don't want to get swept in any series.
Yeah.
And that
needed to know they could win that game, and they sure did.
Right, yeah, exactly. No, I'm with you on that. All right, here's the other question someone sent me last night, and it's a great topic to talk about, and that is, Bruce, if you could go back and see any game in Major League history, any game that pertains to Major League history, and you could be there live to see it, what game would you choose? And then they did the Jackie Robinson debut, the DiMaggio 56th game that he hit in, Babe Ruth pointing to the outfield. I said Willie Mays' 4 home runs, the Koufax perfect games. Where would you go?
Oh, boy, that's...
Isn't that a good question?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's hard to come up with something right away. I'm sure I could give you a definitive answer with some time, but... How about Game 7 of the 1926 World Series when Grover Cleveland-Alexander comes pretty much drunk onto the mound to finish the game, and Babe Ruth is thrown out stealing to end the series?
Perfect.
You know, that'd be a pretty wild scene.
Perfect.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. That's pretty good. I have a fan to my right, Emily, who says she wanted to see Albie Pearson's major league debut. She was an Angel fan, you know, and he ended up with the Angels.
I'd love to have been in any game that Joe DiMaggio played in his prime, that's for sure.
Me too, because I'd want to see him play center field. I never got to see him play center field.
What do you guys think about these Smoltz, Jack Morris head-to-head battle in the World Series, Twins and Braves, right?
I was at that game.
If you're really at the game, right?
Bruce was there.
Bruce, you were there.
Yeah, I did like 20 World Series in a row. That was one of them for the Chronicle.
I like that one, the Grover Cleveland Alexander. When he came in, Tony Lazare, bases loaded, he hit one down the left field line that was fouled by about a foot.
Well, there you go.
And that's right. Yeah, they woke him up in the bullpen. See, that's what I'm thinking about Joe Blanton today. You know, they shook Joe Blanton and said, "Joe, you're pitching today." He said, "Huh?"
Maybe he can channel Grover Cleveland Alexander and have a little nip before he goes out there.
He is from Kentucky. We all know what they do.
Right. A little bourbon.
All right. Well, enjoy your afternoon. I appreciate having you on. We'll look forward to next weekend with you as always.
You bet. Should be a good one tonight.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. Thank you.
Grover Cleveland, huh? Not bad.
That's a good one.
Yeah, sure.
That is a good one. He-